Buy with Rob is your best choice when purchasing your new home in the Puget Sound area. Call 360-710-9425 today and get started on the best home buying experience you will ever have.
Listen to this. Say it's all been a pack of lies.
What? Why?
Just do it. Just say it's all been a pack of lies.
It's all been a pack of lies. That sounded really good.
Thanks, babe. Hey, you know what that song's about? Phil Collins watching some guy watch another guy drown.
I feel like maybe this story is bogus.
Hang on, let me check Snopes. Yeah, none of that happened.
Hey, this is Whitey from the Hale Vandalist Show, and you're listening to the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
Mr. President, when Mr. Ehrlichman and Mr. Haldeman left your administration, you said they were guiltless in the Watergate affair and they were, quote, two of the finest public servants you'd ever known, end quote. After what's transpired and been revealed since then, you still feel the same way about both men and both statements?
First, I hold that both men and others who have been charged are guilty until I have evidence that they are not guilty. And I know that every newspaper man and newspaper woman in this full audience would agree with that statement. That's our American system. Second,
Mr. President, may I suggest that you may have misspoke yourself when you said that you assumed Haldeman and Ehrlichman are considered guilty until proven not guilty.
Yes, I certainly did if I said that.
A little column A, a little column B.
Yeah, baby!
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life. Thought about the laws of gravity, telling the truth, the synagogue shooting, politics, and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. It's National Honesty Day. I'm really not kidding. It really is. The whole idea is for people, especially politicians, to be 100% honest for an entire day. Now, if you think about that for a minute, it can be a little scary. Why? Well, somebody texted me last night to ask what I think about the synagogue shooting. If I'm 100% honest, I am 100% certain to offend more than one of you with what I think about it. What else is new? Am I right? Here's how you get a hold of me. Text machine is 209-565-DAVE. That's 565-3283. Text and voicemail. Email is dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, we're on the web. Just use your preferred non-denominational web search browser to take you to thedavebowmanshow.com. Ego biberi capula sed oliver. I drink coffee that others might live. It's a beautiful day here. I almost feel like I should be outside doing something. I should be mowing the lawn. So I mentioned yesterday I couldn't get the lawnmower working, and turned out I'm an idiot. Spent an hour on hold with tech support for my lawnmower. Tech support for a lawnmower. Just let it rattle around. It's something, things that I would never have said 50 years ago. Anyway, turned out I was doing it backwards. What are you going to do? No, seriously, it's National Honesty Day. It's a day where people can ask you a question and you have to be 100% honest. That's scary, isn't it? Because sometimes when we're completely honest about things, 100% honest about things, we say things that we wouldn't normally say. You know, the little day-to-day, I guess they're called white lies, you know, that grease the skids of a civil society. We don't always tell the truth about everything. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. And then people start asking you dumb questions and they're surprised when you give them an answer that they don't like. Well, it's National Honesty Day. Dumbass. Of course you're going to get that. Some years ago, National Geographic magazine, I was a little surprised at this, National Geographic doing this, because really, why would National Geographic get involved with this? But they did. Some years ago, they created a list of the greatest liars of all time. Number six was this guy. You've probably never heard of him. Maybe you have. Arthur Woodward Smith. Arthur Woodward Smith is otherwise a well-respected scientist of his era. He is a biologist and an anthropologist and an archaeologist. And he discovered something or claimed to have discovered something one day, or even though he wasn't part of the actual team that discovered it, which is probably part of the problem, but he's the one that really advocated for, along with a guy by the name of Charles Darwin, the skeleton that they found near Piltdown, England, as being a missing link, evolutionarily speaking, that it was evidence of the missing link, and it was proof of Darwin's theories of evolution. And Mr. Smith went out on the edge of this. Now, again, National Geographic lists him as number six, but I'm not so sure he should even be on the list. Scientific technology in those days was not what it is today. And of course, as it turned out, the Piltdown man was a complete fraud. But Smith, it's assumed by most people that Smith was involved with the fraud, that he knew about it, that he would have had to have known about it. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, who knows. But Piltdown man turned out to be a fraud, although it certainly didn't hurt anybody else's career. It certainly didn't hurt Darwin's career or any other of the guys who are all famous scientists whose names I've forgotten in this painting. But in general, Smith really took the brunt of that, and he really, after he died, when it was revealed to be a hoax, is when they really kind of rained down upon him. And so he's listed as number six for his Piltdown man fraud, which he may not have even been really a part of. Who knows? Number five is, Number five is P.T. Barnum. P.T. Barnum, of course, P.T., you know, Barnum and Bailey Circus, but you know, that's what we know them for mostly today. But in reality, he was a sideshow operator. And he would basically create things that, you know, would attract them. You'd pay a nickel to see the dog-headed boy or something like that. And they were all frauds. They were all fraudulent. But, you know, as he said, there's a sucker born every minute. And he made a lot of money lying to the public about things. Number four is Charles Ponzi, who is such a... well... I mean, his name is synonymous now with Ponzi schemes. It's what we know, right? Charles Ponzi. He was in 1919, he was an Italian immigrant. He built the first pyramid scheme around international postal reply coupons. He bought in at $250,000, which is roughly $3 million in today's money. Conned investors into sending him millions of dollars, promising eye-popping returns, because that's what Ponzi schemes do. And as it turns out, well, it unraveled, because they always do. He was charged with 86 counts of mail fraud. And of course, you have the modern day versions of that in Bernie Madoff, who fooled Steven Spielberg, Sandy Koufax, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Elie Wiesel, a few others as well. So he's number four on the list of greatest liars. Number three is actually one that most people have not heard of, Anna Anderson. I have, because it's a period of time that I'm particularly interested in. But this woman spent many, many years claiming to be Anastasia, the daughter of Tsar Nicholas II, the last of the Romanovs. She claimed that she survived the assassination, the execution of the royal family in 1918, and she spent her lifetime claiming to be Anastasia Romanov, the rightful heir to the Roman throne, or to the Roman throne, to the Russian throne. Most of their claims were questionable, but again, the technology didn't necessarily exist in her day to disprove her claims. I mean, they didn't have DNA testing back in the 1930s. She did file suits to try to prove her identity and claim the inheritance. She died in 1984, and of course, after she died, they did a DNA test, and it turns out that she not only wasn't Anastasia Romanov, she wasn't even Russian. She turned out to be a Polish factory worker named Franziska Skanskowska. So she's gone down as the number three greatest liar of all time. Number two is one that I find particularly interesting. It's the whole team, the 1919 White Sox, who you may know from the movie Eight Men Out, or to a lesser degree, Bernard Malamud's book, The Natural, was based on some of the events that happened with the 1919 White Sox, not the movie, the book. The movie is a completely different fantasy. It has nothing to do with what was in the book, but other than the character names. The 1919 White Sox are the only baseball team in history that we know. I mean, there's no question about it. We know that they threw a World Series against the Cincinnati Reds. They blew it. They intentionally threw the games. And some of the characters involved with this were more involved with others. Some of them took money. Some of them didn't, or maybe didn't. We don't know. Some of them, it's never been clear whether or not they were on the take or not. The main one being, of course, Shoeless Joe Jackson, the famous outfielder for the White Sox, who goes on to be the star, a principal character in, you know, the Build It They Will Come movie. What's that called? Forgot off the top of my head. It's the anniversary of that movie, and I can't think of the name of it right now. My brain has ceased to operate. And even to this day, there are people who defend Shoeless Joe Jackson as he was one that didn't take the money. But the famous quote, "Say it ain't so, Joe," from the little kid, comes from the 1919 White Sox. And of course, that's how Bernard Mollema's book ends, with the kid saying to Roy Hobbs, "Say it ain't so, Roy." And he can't, because he took the money and struck out. Didn't hit the home run with the fireworks and all that crap. Anyway, so the 1919 White Sox, many of whom maintained their innocence, have gone down in history as liars because they threw those games. But number one, according to National Geographic, no big surprise here. Who do you think the number one liar is? That's right, Richard Milhouse Nixon, who has gone down in history as the number one liar in our time because of, well, Watergate, in the most part. He denied involvement in the scandal. He declared, "I'm not a crook," in a nationally televised press conference. But, you know, everything fell apart when the articles of impeachment were almost certain to pass. He resigned from the presidency, the only president to resign on August 9th, 1974, a day I remember pretty well. I was there. I mean, I'm not there, but we were all glued to our television because this had never happened before. And of course, it was an interesting time to be alive. If you didn't live through Watergate, you won't know what I'm talking about. But it was, you think the media is obsessed with Trump today? Not even close. I mean, it was wall to wall. Nowadays, you've got 24-hour news stations, so they cover these things. In those days, you didn't have those. You had three channels plus maybe a PBS station and a UHF channel. Maybe two. The UHF channel played Gilligan's Island's reruns in the other three networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and they went wall to wall. So it didn't matter which channel you watched, you were going to get Watergate, and that's what it was. I came up with some honorable mentions for myself. Lance Armstrong. Remember Lance Armstrong, seven-time winner of the Tour de France, who insisted that he wasn't doping. "I'm not doping. I'm not doping. I'm not doping." Even starred in a movie called Dodgeball, which is a great movie, except it still has this scene in it where Peter LaFleur is, you know, quitting on his team. And Lance Armstrong shows up and lectures him about how, you know, "When I had brain cancer and testicular cancer, and all that did was motivate me to get back on the bike. And in all naturality, win the Tour de France seven times." And as I've said, every time I've seen that movie since then, this would be a much better movie if they'd just blank out his face. Insert somebody else into there, because Lance Armstrong lied. He lied. He said over and over again, "I didn't dope." And he did, as a problem. This guy, James W. Johnston, you may know him, you may not know him. He was the head of R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. Now, look, I'm well on record as how I feel about cigarettes. I hate them. I hate people that smoke. I really hate the fact that people who smoke feel like they have some sort of divine fucking right to do it in public. They don't, but they don't care. They'd rather screw up your air because they've got a right to, you know? So at any rate, however you happen to feel about cigarettes is irrelevant. This guy was the kind who was in charge of selling them to the public. And in 1992, he informed Congress that Studies have shown that nicotine is no more addictive than caffeine or, you know, chocolate. And, of course, the entire cigarette industry, as we know, knew better. But that didn't stop him from lying to Congress in this whole thing. And then you can't have an honorable mention about liars without, I did not have relations, sexual relations with that woman. I mean, again, whether you care or not is irrelevant. I've said this on numerous occasions. I don't care. I really don't. But if you're going to go on national TV, point your finger at everybody and say, I didn't, you better damn well be sure that you didn't, because it's going to come out. And it did. But I'm pish. So Bill Clinton has to get, he has to be in that, right? I mean, how can he not be? And then, of course, I saw this cartoon today on National Honesty Day. Everyone was so seasick that the captain and I were the only ones well enough to stand watch, the young seaman is saying. I was there. It didn't happen like that at all. And the moral of the story is, the worst enemy of a good sea story is an eyewitness, someone who was actually there and saw what was going on. And, you know, they understand what you're doing. That's what it comes down to. Now, look, I don't think politicians are going to magically be honest. I really don't. I can't imagine the situation where a politician would tell the truth about anything other than, I mean, I listened to someone explaining to me the other day about a major naval officer who was addressing some rumors that were happening at his command. And his exact quote was, I don't know where these rumors are coming from. And the person I was talking to took that as the rumors were not true. And I said, that's not what he said. What he said was he didn't know where the rumors are coming from, which is probably true. He doesn't know who's spreading the rumors. That's all he told you. If that admiral had been honest on Honesty Day, his answer might have been somewhat different. If they asked politicians honest questions today, their answers might be different. I got asked questions today. And while I'm... Look, I get the grease that goes, you know, that drives society. I understand that. Requires us to be politely inaccurate at times. But there are times, National Honesty Day being one of them, where you just need to say it like it is, because otherwise people aren't going to get your point. I got a text last night. The text did not upset me. I want to be clear to the person who sent me the text, Dan. It did not upset me. The text was, Dave, what do you think about this Chabad synagogue shooting? I've been watching it all day, and, you know, you didn't talk about it yesterday because you were so distracted by everything else. And I was. What do you think about it? Well, that's a hard question to answer. What do I think about it? There are some things about this particular shooting that I find despicable, as always. I find the idea that anyone hates the Jews so much, the Jews, because that's the term they use, the Jews, so much, that he or she is willing to pull a gun and go into a synagogue, a house of worship, and start shooting people. I find that offensive. I'm sorry, I just do. As I said on the day it happened on my social media feed, and very few people understood what I was driving at, the sheriff in San Diego County referred to the shooting as, quote, he attacked worshipers. And so I put out a tweet, a social media post saying, I guess I should be offended by him calling us worshipers, huh? Because that harkens back to Hillary Clinton's copy of Barack Obama's tweet, misspellings included, that has the entire freaking right upset about the fact that, why couldn't she say Christians? Why couldn't she say Christians? She said he's your worshipers, dipshit. That's what they were. Am I supposed to be offended now that the sheriff didn't use the term Jews? He was shooting at Jews? There are some things, as I said, that are obvious. There are some things that should be clear to us, and we don't need to draw offense from them. We didn't need to be offended by Hillary Clinton's copy, misspellings included, of Barack Obama's idiotic tweet about Easter worshipers. there were bigger issues at play, but no, this is a sign that the people that agree with these people want Christianity eradicated, and nothing is further from the truth. But goddamn, you couldn't tell people that, could you? That'll offend them. Now here we are a week later. The synagogue gets shot up. The sheriff calls them worshipers. He doesn't call them Jews. And I don't hear a single one of those same people who were screaming about Easter worshipers saying a word about it. Not one of you had anything to say about it. Which proves to me that your original offense was just, I need to be offended by something. I can't mourn. I can't be offended by none of that matters. I have to be offended by people I don't like saying something about it. That something that didn't even matter to you. That pissed me off. It really did. As far as the shooting itself goes, well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. It's going to happen again. You know that, right? You know why it's going to happen? Because whether we admit it or not, there is an anti-faith bias across this country. And I don't give a rip whether you're talking Christianity, Islamic, Jewish, whatever. But when it comes to Judaism in particular, there is some weird, deep thing with people that they don't like Jews. And it goes back a long way. You ever hear of this guy, Charlie Coughlin? Charlie Coughlin is a Catholic priest, or was. He's dead now, but he was a Catholic priest. Do you know what his claim to fame was? He was one of the first talk radio hosts back in the 1930s, before World War II. And do you know what Mr. Coughlin spent most of his time talking about? Social justice. He spent talking about social justice. Sorry, I meant to have a slide for that, and I don't know what I did with it. He revolutionized radio, AM radio as we know it. He was the first of the controversial chat show hosts, talk radio hosts, who would rail on radio. And remember, radio in those days was a little bit different. Network programs, you know, they carried nationwide. And Father Coughlin was a vile, despicable, embarrassing anti-Semite. And the Catholic Church did nothing about it. Took Franklin Roosevelt to get him off the air, finally, when World War II finally came to America. Charles Coughlin, Father Charles Coughlin, espoused Nazi-esque ideas about what should be done to the Jews in America. He wanted that done in America. Do you understand that? And indeed, some Jews were lynched because of asshats like that. He spent most of his time advocating for what he called social justice. Isn't that funny? Social justice used to be the purview of the insane, nationalistic Charles Coughlin. Now it's the watchword of the insane far left. It's, you know, just proved more that words don't necessarily mean anything across the board. I got asked a question today. Someone I know and someone you probably know if you're a longtime listener to the show. Why Jews continue to support the Democrat Party is a complete mystery to me. The same applies to blacks. If I told you who wrote that, you would be stunned. Those of you, particularly back in the old Central Valley areas, you would be, your head would explode. I'm not going to tell you. If he wants to tell you, he can tell you himself. That is one of the dumbest fucking questions I ever get. And I get it all the time. Why don't Jews vote Republican? Why did you support Democrats? Well, first off, we don't. We don't do it anymore. Why do Christians vote Democrat? Don't tell me they don't. Nancy Pelosi tells me she's a Christian. Right? Nancy Pelosi lectures me about what it means to be a Christian. And she clearly votes Democrat, and a lot of people vote for her. So don't tell me that this question is not... You know, it's just an innocent, I don't understand question. It's a bullshit anti-Semitic question. The reason you already know why you think they don't vote for your party, Republicans, I assume, because I know this guy. You already know the answer. But you just wanted to take a swipe at Jews and blacks because you wanted to ask a stupid question. That was this morning, folks. That was today. That wasn't 6 months ago or 40 years ago. This was today after a synagogue shooting. This was the question that someone on my asks. I don't know. Why do Christians paint swastikas on synagogues? Because they do. They did it in Modesto when I was there. Remember that? I don't know. What do I think about the shooting at Chabad? When I told you yesterday, I have a lot of respect for Chabad. I'm not a member because I'm not Orthodox, but I have a lot of respect for what they do. And I have a lot of materials because I find them very useful and I find them very helpful. And on days when there was no one else to talk to, Chabad was there for me. I'm not a member of Chabad. I can't be because I'm not, again, Orthodox. But I'll tell you what, they didn't care about that when I needed someone. They were there for me. The rabbi there was asked, when are you going to shut down? How long? Or no, when will you reopen? When will you reopen? He said, today, tomorrow, we don't go down for one moment. No terrorists, no murder, no evil is going to shut us down. We will be here, and we will be here, and we will be here until God himself tells us not to be, because he's told us to be. I don't have any regard for the shooter. I don't have any regard for the people that ask stupid questions. Why do Jews vote Democrat? Why do Christians vote Democrat, asshat? Why? If you think honestly about your own answer to that question, you'll understand why did Jews vote Democrats is a stupid question. You'll understand why it's a biased question, why you're being anti-Semite with a question like that. But until you stop to think about your own answers to your own questions, you're not even hearing it. You're not even listening to it. And that is what's going to cause the next shooting. Well, don't you know Jews vote? I'm a perfectly innocent guy. Jews vote Democrat. And some other asshat out there is hearing that going, Jews are trying to destroy the world. And you're helping them. Oh, but Dave, I didn't mean it that way. Well, then why'd you say it? It's National Honesty Day, folks. It's time to take an honest look at yourself and go, why am I asking stupid questions like that? Then maybe you'll start to see the answers, and maybe you'll start to understand things a little bit differently. Maybe, just maybe, we can stop having shootings at synagogues and churches and mosques and everywhere else. It's too much to ask, isn't it? I gotta go. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there. Please don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Honestly, I'm Dave Bowman, and this is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. We'll be back probably tomorrow, but if not Thursday for sure, for Constitution Thursday. Have a great day, everybody. See you later.
The Dave Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.